Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Ace is a place with the helpful hardware, folks.
At Ace, your backyard's right in our backyard, which means we have hand-picked products that are right for the birds in your neighborhood, like premium bird seed, suet, birdhouses, and feeders. Stop by your local Ace and get everything you need to attract the birds you want, including Ace Wild Bird Food, on sale now. Now through Tuesday only, when you buy two 20-pound bags of wild bird food, get a third bag free. Only at Ace, the helpful place. Offer valid through February 28th at participating stores.
Welcome to the Tuesday RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, who'd like to remind you to be sports rich. I'm Jake Litarski, joined today by Ben Miller. First, we're going to talk about the six-game NBA slate Tuesday night. Then later on, John McKechnie is going to come join me, and we're going to talk about Week 13 NFL running backs on FanDuel. If you're out there on Twitter, please give Ben a follow at BenManDoingWork. You can follow me at JakeSki52. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, or regardless of platform, please take a second to give us a nice rating and review. We really appreciate any and all feedback. You know, listening to Ben's advice last night, now I'm a low volume NBA DFS player, but I used some of those picks, scored 330 points in a lineup last night.
That's what we like to see there.
Yeah, dude, I got to officially thank you, Ben, for getting me into NBA DFS a little bit more, but that's exactly why we have you on here. So let's jump right into the slate. RotoWire Lineup Optimizer, that's always the first place I start when looking for my lineup, and it looks like they're offering a pretty balanced lineup tonight, so probably suggesting fading some of the high-priced guys. So, like, for example, the Optimizer likes LeBron James, it likes Blake Griffin, it likes Chris Paul, you know, but there's some high-priced guys in here, like Anthony Davis at 12,000, James Harden at 11,500. I mean, are you trying to incorporate those guys in your lineup tonight, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to get action on one of those, you know, top three guys. So Anthony Davis, what's he at? 12,200.
Yep.
James Harden, he's sitting at 11,500, and LeBron James at 10,100. So I'm definitely trying to get one of those guys in my lineup. Of the three, it's definitely a tough choice, but, and I'm usually all over Harden. But his matchup with the Jazz isn't necessarily ideal.
Mm-hmm. Although Zach LaVine had a nice game against the Jazz last night.
True.
Part of the reason that I was successful. Yeah. Zach LaVine had a nice fantasy game.
But yeah, they're holding opponents to just 93.4 points per game, which is the best in the league. So that means less points and assists and just overall statistics, obviously, to build up for players' DFS scores. So, of course, Harden is still going to get his looks. You know, as a superstar, you're always going to have
He's always going to get his
right,
looks. He's potential
nights.
MVP candidate
right,
this year.
He's extremely consistent. But the slight drop-off potential, you know, when you're going for those higher-value guys, that kind of has me leaning towards Davis tonight. He's the top overall salary, but he's definitely worthy of a grab. He's going against the Lakers. I think it's the highest over-under on the night.
Yeah, it's 218 is the over-under on that game. The next highest is the Clippers at Brooklyn, 216.5, but 218 for the Lakers at Pelicans there. So you think Davis is going to pretty much have his way with the likes of Timothy Mozgov and Tyreek Black down low?
Yeah, definitely. I do. And I'd go ahead and use him if you can over, you know,
he's my lock.
Like LeBron
and James. All right, locking him in right now, Ben. All right, so let's see. If you're going to grab Davis, though, who are a couple guys that you might try to pair him with, either on the team or outside the team? Maybe some middle-tier guys that you know, you could use instead of trying to stack multiple, you know, five-digit salary guys?
Yeah, these guys are a little higher up there, but I do like matching them up with a guy like Kyrie Irving and maybe Andre Drummond as well. Irving sitting at an affordable 7,600. He's shooting lights out right now. Over the last two games, he's combined to shoot 24 for 40, I should say, from the field. So well over 50%. Also 9 of 16 from 3-point line over that 2-game span as well. You know, his assists have been down a bit. That doesn't worry me as much. You know, when you got guys like LeBron and Kevin Love next to you, you're going to get those assists eventually. And then with Drummond, he's the top center available, sitting at 8,100, kind of expensive to pair with a guy like Davis. But he's got a great matchup with Charlotte. I think they're struggling defending those elite big men. You know, which should give Drummond's value a little boost there. I think Charlotte's giving up the 7th most rebounds per game to their opponents.
Mm-hmm. All right, nice.
So yeah, Drummond's rebounds number should be boosted up there.
Yeah, last night I cheaped out on center with little Kelly Olynyk action. Tonight, probably a night to pay up, though. And also, hey, Kyrie Irving, the only one thing that I worry about is maybe Matthew Dellavedova and, you know, facing
True
his
that.
Old team.
Yeah,
he's going to D
matchup.
Him up tonight. I don't know if it's revenge. I think they parted ways amicably. I mean,
True.
Milwaukee
yeah.
paid the guy way too much for what it's worth. You know, I wouldn't have paid him that if I were Cleveland either. But I don't know. Maybe there's that factor. I like to look for the wild card, maybe a little intangibles here and there.
Yep.
So we went through a ton of higher salary guys. Just for example, I locked in Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and Andre Drummond in my lineup. Now I'm left with an average of about 5,300 remaining per player. It looks like you've got a few value guys to recommend here, starting with a guy in this Laker game that's got one of the higher over-unders.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson. I like him a lot during that pick, the Lakers-Pelicans game. Sitting at just 5,200. D'Angelo Russell's still out for the next few weeks with the knee injury. Mm-hmm. You know, even though the Lakers have used Jose Calderon as their starting point guard, Clarkson is clearly outpacing him in minutes off the bench. Clarkson's seen 32 and 38 minutes in each of his last two games compared to Calderon's 28 and 13. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty clear Clarkson's getting the starter's minutes there. He's combined for 38 points, 7 steals over the last couple of contests, and I think he's trying to take a larger scoring role with Russell out of the game.
Yeah.
And like Irving, his assist numbers aren't like spectacular, but when you're playing that full load of minutes, it's an upper pace game, you're going to get those eventually.
Yeah. Now, I've heard from some NBA DFS players, they strictly won't use anybody if they're not in the starting lineup, but what you're saying here is that's going to be a little bit of a fallacy. You have to watch the minutes trends a
little
bit more.
Right, it's definitely minutes. A lot of guys... It's more of like a, I think it's almost, how would you put that? Like, it's a veteran. You just put that veteran guy in the lineup.
Just to
like,
you kind of give him that nod, you know, that respect.
Right.
It's almost like Bo Ryan and the Badgers starting a senior in their lineup.
Exactly.
You know? Okay.
Yep.
All right. That makes sense. I hear you. But Jordan Clarkson's the younger, more explosive player. No doubt about that.
Right. And he's definitely the guy to look at there in the back.
All right. Speaking of guys in my 20-team season-long league, you've got Aaron Gordon listed here at 4,100. Could he have a big game tonight?
Yeah. I think it's pretty much based on if Jeff Green ends up playing or not. Green sat out the last game or two with a back issue. So if he's again out, I think Gordon's a decent look. I mean, he's sitting at 4,100. If Green's out, he's going to get the start. Should see minutes in the 30s then. He did put up a goose egg on Sunday, going 0 for 12, which was brutal. But if he's getting that many minutes, he's going to rack up a bunch of rebounds.
Mm-hmm. And if anything, that brings his price down, too.
Like exactly.
A decent GPP.
Yeah, there's
candidate.
Only one way to go
when you
hit the zero mark. So I think that's worth a shot if Green does end up sitting out.
I hear you there. Also, we've got Sean Kilpatrick at 5,300. Do you think he could be a decent value tonight?
Yeah, he's decently cheap. Shooting guard, I'm 5,300, I think.
Yep.
Jeremy Lin is likely still out.
Gotcha.
Who knows for how long. Rhonda Hollis-Jefferson has missed the last few games with an ankle injury. I think we're still sitting on a questionable designation for him for now. But over Kilpatrick's last three games, he's averaging 20.3 points, 3 rebounds, 4.3 assists, and a
solid
block. So that's probably right around the 30 FanDuel points per game mark.
Right.
So, yeah, I think
Excellent.
That could be solid.
All right, so last question for you, Ben. So, say you just can't fit Andre Drummond into your lineup here at 8,100 tonight, of course, him being the highest price center on the slate. You know, you want to use some sort of, say you're more in the Harden camp, or you want to use both Harden and Anthony Davis, you're going super GPP. Who are some cheap centers you might want to look at tonight?
Yeah, if you're trying to go cheap at center, I think Tristan Thompson and Clint Capella are your best options there.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson's the cheaper guy at 5,000, which is actually, I think, a bit up from where he's been in the past. He's been getting after it on the boards this season, and he's logged over 10 and 6 of his last 7 games. The part of his game that usually hurts his FanDuel value is his scoring, but he's been in double figures the last 2 games. Which should be a nice confidence booster for that big man. So, yeah.
And he gets to go against the front court of Greg Monroe and John Henson.
Yeah,
I like Henson long term. I just still think of him in his developmental stages for whatever reason.
The Bucks got that weird rotation with
And Plumlee likes to start Plumlee too. And, because Monroe's in the doghouse. Yeah,
it's ugly.
It's inconsistent. So there'll be a matchup in there that Thompson will be able to take advantage of.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you again for joining us, Ben. Good luck to everybody with their FanDuel NBA lineups for tonight's 6-game slate. Fantasy football fans have all the victory every Sunday. FanDuel offers fantasy football for everyday fans. New contests starting every week to ensure no busted seasons. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score real time. New this year is an upgraded experience to get even more contest variety. You can try beginner contests for new players only. Settle a score with a friend in a head-to-head contest. Try a 50-50 contest where the top half wins cash. Or play in larger tournaments for even more excitement. Like I am doing tonight, entering that $1 single entry NBA Dribbler as we speak here. I had a good night last night. I got to keep the streak going here. But again, like I said, play for a dollar. There are choices for every budget. So as I start to get more experience with NBA, maybe we'll amp it up a little bit. But for now, we're going to go with these with Dribbler and see where it continues to take me. But once again, we want to have all the fantasy that football has to offer over at FanDuel and have all the fantasy that basketball has to offer as well. FanDuel, be sports rich. I'd like to welcome John McKechnie back to the show here, where we're going to talk a little bit of Week 13 NFL running backs on FanDuel here. Of course, Week 13 bye weeks, we've got the Browns and the Titans, so you can no longer use Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray. Well, I guess you can't use Marcus Mariota either if you wanted to. And, of course, no Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson there. You can follow John on Twitter at Johnny McKex. That's JohnnyMcKechs. John, let's start with that Thursday game here. First of all, thanks for joining. We've got Dallas at Minnesota. Yeah, absolutely. So how are you approaching this game if you are going to go out of your way to play in the Thursday game?
I think for this one, you really kind of just have to go Zeke as far as the running backs are concerned. And I know it's not a rocket science answer by any means, but the Vikings have about as much trouble as anyone running the ball, especially with Adrian Peterson being out. I know that he ran some sprints at practice Tuesday, but that is still a ways away from being cleared to, play in a game. So you got a mix of Asiata at 5,700 and McKinnon at 5,500. Both those guys are just so middling. I suppose McKinnon gets more of the workload these days, but Asiata just seems to be a lock for 7 carries, 15 yards, and a touchdown every week. And it's nice that he gets a touchdown, but that's just not a part of a winning lineup, in my opinion.
Exactly. So you don't want to be that touchdown dependent at all.
No, because the opportunities are so limited, and Dallas does have a really solid defense across the board here. So I'm not sure how many times the Vikings are going to be able to get into the red zone where Asiata could theoretically factor in there. So yeah. Zeke would be my only running back consideration there. And I think he's a good play, actually.
I mean, the Minnesota defense, the first like 4 or 5 weeks of the season when they were undefeated, they were looking like an elite Super Bowl defense. Not so much the case anymore.
No, I think there's a problem of that offense kind of leaving that defense on the field far too often, and I think it's kind of worn them down over the course of the year. So I think that that's certainly a problem for them when a guy like Zeke, who's coming off a long week, gets to. I mean, I guess they both are coming off long weeks, but that just spells trouble with like just a Mack truck type of running back like Zeke Elliott.
Good news there. Of course, if you're going to play that Thursday slate, you might as well play it for Zeke Elliott. Otherwise, not much to like in the Vikings backfield here. So, John, let's jump to those top-tier running backs. We've got Le'Veon Bell at 9,300 against the Giants, and Mr. Consistency, David Johnson, 9,200 against the Washington Redskins. Now, David Johnson has a finger injury, but Bruce Arians said he'll be fine. Does that make you in any way hesitant to use him in DFS?
No, it doesn't. I mean, we got a home matchup here. Johnson was able to kind of play through the injury on Sunday. Ended up, I think, going over 160 all-purpose yards from scrimmage. So as painful as it might have been in the short term, it seems like it's not something that's going to drastically impact him. So I think Johnson going against Washington, who can be susceptible on the ground, is certainly a nice play here.
Do
you make of Bell here at 9,300, though?
Yeah, he is he's a little bit pricey for my liking. Obviously, you can't choose both, so I think you have to limit yourself to one. I mean, this Giants-Steelers game has shootout written all over it.
Right.
So it could be a decent bell game, but in the early DFS lineups that I've put together, I've gotten my piece of that game by using either Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham. I'm thinking we're going to see it just as much through the air. I mean, Le'Veon Bell has a pretty high floor, I would say, and, sure. and I couldn't really knock you for wanting to use that, but I guess when, when I've had to choose, I've paid up for receivers on the slate this week, which means I've had to go down the list looking for backs a little bit. So that's kind of faded me away from both Bell and Johnson. But if I had to pick between those guys, I think I like Johnson a little bit more. The Redskins giving up 4.7 yards per carry to opposing backs, and it looks like a league high 16 rushing touchdowns allowed. So the fact that David Johnson is the Arizona offense, right. He can do it in the air and on the ground, and whether it's a cash game or a GPP, and he's one of the guys you're paying up for. My inclination is to lean towards David Johnson in this one, though I'm sure Le'Veon Bell will get 20 fantasy points. He'll have no problem doing that.
There's no issue with using Bell. It's just a matter of, do you think he's going to have the monster, 30-point game again this week? Mm-hmm. Not so certain of that. And I think you brought up an interesting point in the way that this week's slate is breaking down, where I'm kind of leaning off of the really higher priced running backs, because I mean these two have decent matchups, but we'll see in the tier two and tier three not a whole lot of favorable matchups going on. So I think you and I both are kind of in agreement that going with the cheaper running backs in the 7,000 or high 6,000s is kind of the way to go, as far as as of Tuesday. I think that's kind of how I'm going to form my lineups.
I mean, there's just so many sexy wideouts on the slate. Yeah. You've got Odell and Antonio Brown and Mike Evans against the Chargers. Like, out of those three guys I just mentioned, I want to try to get two of them at least. And, if I pair them up with one of their quarterbacks, it's going to be kind of pricey. If I use one of these running backs, it's almost impossible. So,
right.
So we're going to keep going down the list here. But let's talk about tier two anyway, the 8,000 to 8,900. You've got LeSean McCoy at 8,400 on the road in Oakland, and you got Melvin Gordon at 8,000 home against Tampa Bay. Now, both these backs are having pretty strong seasons. Of course, McCoy banged up here and there, but he had an excellent game on Sunday here. I mean, what do you make of this? Do you use either of these guys, or are the matchups a little tough? I mean, Tampa Bay's got Gerald McCoy down low to kind of clog things up, and of course, Oakland's got Khalil Mack having his way all over the field.
That's true. I mean, both those guys as individuals are some of the best at their respective positions. Both of those run defenses are good, not great, not something that like completely scares you off, but kind of in keeping with what I was saying earlier about using cheaper running backs, I think that these guys, I don't think that there's a ton of room for profit here with either of them. I would say that Gordon might have the better chance of the two of them. I think Tampa Bay's run defense is it obviously slowed down all of Seattle last week, so that's actually a little bit more intimidating now that I think about it. So maybe not using Gordon would be my move here. I think that either of these guys in tier two are just sort of non-factors for me this week.
Yeah, Gordon's almost like the for baseball fans out there. Now, this is kind of a knock, and I don't want to really knock Melvin Gordon. I like him, of course, as a Badger, but he's almost like the Marco Estrada of NFL DFS, where all the metrics and the analytics suggest that he's going to crash and not have good DFS games, but yet he continues to be good and score touchdowns as Melvin Gordon. Right. It's almost like Marco Estrada, where like his FIP and his ex-FIP and all that stuff were just like way off of his base ERA, and he was going to blow up and give up six home runs in a game any day now, but it just kept never happening, and he kept being good. This is almost like what Melvin Gordon's doing in a DFS standpoint.
I enjoy that comp a lot. Well done.
Yeah, so we're crossing sports here, doing our best here. What about Jay Ajayi? $7,500. He gets a $900 price break from last week, but he didn't do it against the San Francisco 49ers, the league's worst run defense. So I'm not so sure he can do it against the Ravens, the league's best run defense.
Yeah, I don't think he can either. I was at the Ravens game on Sunday, and they were swarming to the ball, and obviously Jeremy Hill got hurt for part of that game. But I mean, they were pretty much limiting the Bengals' rushing attack, and obviously Ajayi is having a much better season than a guy like Hill. But at the same time, I think this matchup is probably a little bit too tough to really see Ajayi having a monster game. You could see him, racking up 20. I could see him going for like 20 carries, 80 yards, and maybe a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But I think that Miami is going to have more success throwing on Baltimore than it is running. So I would say, especially if Jimmy Smith is out for Baltimore, Miami's probably going to lean more on the pass and less on the run here. So I don't think Ajayi is going to be a major factor.
Yeah, hopefully Devontae Parker will get healthy. That could be a decent matchup if Jimmy Smith is out there. But all right, so I think we're in agreement here. Unless you're trying to be a little bit contrarian, it's probably wise to fade anyone 7,500 and above. And when we get lower than that here, this is when things start getting interesting. And it starts with Jordan Howard at 7,400 against the 49ers. You can make a case that he's this week's chalk play.
I actually had him as my chalk play initially when I was filling this out. I really like this matchup for Howard. I mean, the opportunities are going to be there, especially when you consider that Chicago's probably not going to try to put too much on Matt Barkley's plate. Mm-hmm. I think Howard's going to see at least 18 to 20 carries going against that San Francisco defense. I don't know how they were able to stop Miami on the ground this past week. I'm still kind of flabbergasted by that, but I mean, at the end of the day, San Francisco still pretty much ranks towards the bottom in any major rushing metric defensively, DVOA or in FanDuel terms. So I think Howard, I love this matchup for Howard.
Yeah, and even if Howard and the Bears get behind to Colin Kaepernick, who's been playing pretty well, Howard still has a fantasy role, especially, you know, FanDuel half point PPR. He'll still be used out of the backfield in the screen and check down game enough to be able to get some. I mean, he's not quite David Johnson in terms of completely game proof, but he does have a little bit of that in him. What about Devontae Freeman at 7,400? He did a pretty strong job. I mean, we're starting to finally see the two-thirds, one-third split that I think most expected, with Devontae Freeman getting more of the workload than Tevin Coleman. Does that continue this week against Kansas City?
I imagine it will, and I think on paper, you look at Kansas City and you worry about going against that defense in general, but I think both of us were worried about using Freeman against the Cardinals defense this past week, and Freeman went ahead and put up 20 FanDuel points. So obviously, if you stuck with him there, you were certainly rewarded for doing so. And I think Kansas City, with them, the strength of their defense is in its pass rush with Tamba Hali and Justin Houston, and maybe Dee Ford coming back, and the strength in their secondary, you know, highlighted by Eric Berry and Marcus Peters. But I don't really find them to be particularly stout against the run. I think their run defense numbers are actually pretty middling overall here. So if Freeman continues to see that two-thirds split there, and Sunday he pretty much had exactly that, 64% of the market share out of the Falcons backfield. So I think he sees similar number of touches, and I think that it's actually a more favorable matchup going against Kansas City than it was against Arizona.
All right, yeah, so Devontae Freeman 7,400, Spencer Ware checks in at 7,400, and on paper, Ware actually has a better matchup in terms of the defense that he's facing, but Ware's on the road. I mean, I suppose you're probably not really using both of these guys, and you got to pick one. Who are you looking at if it comes down to Freeman or Ware?
I'm going to go with Freeman here, and I know that it seems like the Falcons theoretically would have a softer defense, but they're actually decent against the run, top half of the league against the run, and I'm just worried about Ware's touchdown production. It seems like the Chiefs more and more are trying to get the ball to Tyreek Hill no matter how they can. They're just going to do it.
Yeah, there's so many like wildcat formations when they get into the red zone.
Yeah, they ran where the other night.
Where Ware's taking the snap and then handing it off to Hill. That's no good for anyone's fantasy value.
Nope. So I'm worried about Ware's role, especially when they get down towards the end zone. And I think another factor in the red zone is obviously Travis Kelce, who's just an absolute beast there. So I think it's looking more and more like Ware's touchdown chances and upside are being cut down. And I don't think that he's going to see as many favorable touches as Freeman overall on Sunday. So if we're going 7,400 coin flip, I'm going Freeman here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we say coin flip, but I agree with you. I would take the home team and the team that's favored in this situation. Mm-hmm. And Ware, I mean, I just think that this is he's a little bit mispriced, to be completely honest. I think 7,400 is too high for someone whose last four games, I'm going to read off his FanDuel points, 10.6, 9.5, 8.7, 5.7. Yes. So I know on paper he has a decent matchup, but that's pretty garbage, man. I mean, someone with that, most other backs with that game log, you know, if it wasn't knowing that he'd be the big back with the matchup, I mean, if it was any other back, they'd be priced at about 6,000.
Yeah, exactly. If you've been paying for Ware each of those last 4 weeks, you've definitely gotten burned each and every time out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just something that probably want no part of there here. So let's keep looking at this tier. We've got Lamar Miller, 7,300 at Green Bay. He's a little bit banged up. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to watch his practice participation. I think it's a little too early for analysis, but a guy that I like that I've put put in some initial lineups is Mark Ingram for 7,000 against Detroit. Detroit seems to, you know, most of their numbers check out, but Detroit is giving up a lot of rushing touchdowns this year.
That's true, and it took them a while. I remember, you know, earlier in the season, we were like, is this a week that they give up a rushing touchdown? We kept waiting for it, and the floodgates have opened a little bit there, so
yep.
that's been nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess only 5 rushing touchdowns on the whole year, but, I mean, they went so long without giving one up.
Exactly. So their touchdown rate has gone up in recent weeks. Yeah, I love this matchup for Ingram. It's at 7,000. This is a game that I think a lot of people in DFS are going to be targeting and trying to get as much of this one as they can because, you know, mm-hmm. anytime we got Superdome game with those kind of high-powered offenses, there's going to be a lot of fantasy goodness involved. And Ingram mm-hmm. actually saw less of the market share touches than Hightower this past week, but he still was more explosive per touch. You know, he had 167 total yards of offense and 2 touchdowns this past week against a Rams defense that you know, supposedly pretty good. Mm-hmm. So this week, going against Detroit's that it is an improving unit, but it's still not intimidating by any means. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think Ingram's going to have a really nice game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are targeting a lot of quarterback receiver combos in this game because it is the highest over under on the slate at 53.5. However, the Saints are 5-point home favorites, and I like them to maybe get ahead and then use Ingram very frequently. At least as a Packer fan, I'm hoping the Lions get beat on the road this week. Yeah, we will wait and
see. Certainly possible. I mean, if the Saints can kind of have a repeat showing of how explosive they were this past week, just kind of running it up on old Greg Williams, mm-hmm. yeah, we could certainly see something here to that extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's jump to our chalk plays, our cash game. $1, 50-50s, double ups. You want to get your base safety lineup here, I guess. And like you said, John, we're not normally a lot of weeks we pick those guys 9,000 and above for our cash game plays because they are pretty safe. And yeah, I guess if you need 20 points, you could probably slot Bell in. But I think we can save a little bit of money in cash game plays, and we're going to start out with yours. Who do you like?
I like Matt Forte a lot. Obviously, you're going to need to get in on the Monday action in order to roster him, but he's checking in at 6,900, going against Indianapolis' defense at home. I just think, you know, my baseline reasoning here is using a running back against Indianapolis. It's really not rocket science for me. Forte is just a guy that has a nice guaranteed workload. I think that mm-hmm. You
and
know,
Fitzpatrick's it, playing a little bit better too. He only turned the ball over once last week. That's a new thing.
Improvement. So I think that it's just never a bad idea. And at 6,900, I mean, there's a lot of room for profit there. I mean, if he gets into the 20 point range, then he's certainly paid off for you. If you're just going for Sunday, then I would say Jordan Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I definitely like both those plays, both Howard and Matt Forte. I'm going to kind of go down a little bit further and go with Theo Riddick. He's 6,500, which is pretty cheap for a cash game, but there's a lot of things I like about Riddick in this slate. One, the game's indoors, so you don't have to worry about any kind of slippery weather conditions here. Of course, highest over-under on the slate here, and I mean, the Lions are pretty much, we saw on Thanksgiving, they kind of finally decided to stop giving Dwayne Washington double-digit carries. That was kind of a silly thing they were doing for a while. I mean, Theo Riddick isn't a traditional between-the-tackles runner, but if he gets double-digit carries and flirts with double-digit targets, I think there's a pretty good chance you get a 15 to 20-point floor for him. And that even grows higher if he can find the end zone. So I like Riddick a lot at 6,500. Also, I mean, the Saints, they're allowing the 4th most fantasy points per game to opposing backs here. I feel like Riddick is priced where someone like Spencer Ware should be.
Yeah,
for a lot of the same reasoning. Yeah. So I think I'm going to take advantage of that price tag at 6,500 with Theo Riddick.
And adding on to that, the Saints are actually 29th in terms of DVOA in terms of stopping pass catching running backs out of the backfield.
Yep, so of
that,
course.
I mean, that just, you know, adds further credence to that pick. I really like that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, normally I don't take a $6,500 back and use him as a base for all my lineups, but I think everything is falling into place for Theo Riddick to have I don't know if he's going to have a 40 point week, but I think you'll have a decent enough week to return value at 6,500. Mm-hmm. What about your GPPs, John? We're looking for someone who's going to try to help us win life-changing amounts of cash, someone whose ownership is probably going to be low, and someone that you might want to consider using in your big tournaments. Who do you look towards first?
I'm not sure if, you know, the price range kind of knocks him out of what we usually consider our GPP plays, but I think LeGarrette Blount at 6,600 is an interesting one this week. Obviously, he's disappointed the past 2 weeks after being just a touchdown machine against the Seahawks, and I think that's going to result in a lot of people moving off of him. And the fact that he's going against the Rams, I think also maybe people will see last week's game as a bit of an aberration. But I think that New England's going to be playing with a sizable lead for a lot of this game going at home. I think they're like 13-point favorites or something mm-hmm. ridiculous like that against the Rams. And I think that, you know, old Bill Belichick is going to take a look at the New Orleans tape from this past week and find a way to use Blount in a similar way in order to get him some favorable looks and runs. And yeah, I just think that he's going to be able to have a really nice week.
Yeah, 13.5-point home favorites. I mean, that's like seriously 6-7 points more than the next highest favorite on the slate. So wish I still had the Patriots and Survivor. That that would make Blount an excellent
beat down.
Yeah. An excellent GPP play. So, definitely take a look at that. I'm going to go. I like to throw these super wild card darts out with my GPPs I have in the last couple weeks. They don't always pay off, but so just a heads up here. But one of these times, someone's going to hit big, and I don't know, maybe there's a chance that it's Denard Robinson or the Jags this week. Yeah, I'm going to recommend a bad Jags player. but he's minimum price. He's 4,500, so he gives you some stuff to do with the rest of your lineup. As far as my notes go here, I've got Chris Ivory is dealing with a hamstring injury, which those can be tricky. We'll wait and see. Denard Robinson got double-digit carries in relief of Chris Ivory. And then as far as my notes go, the next one I have is Yeldon equals bad. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing no threat from fantasy, or any kind of threat from TJ Yeldon taking carries here. And then I also want to mention that the rushing aspect of the Denver defense isn't as terrible as a lot of people make it out to be. They're giving up in full PPR formats about 20 fantasy points a game to opposing running backs. That puts them right in the middle of the pack. So people think Denver defense and they automatically think fade at all costs, but that's right. Not necessarily the case here. So I think if you get Denard Robinson in your lineup, you'll probably get him at about 0.3 to 0.6% ownership, right, which is big to start with. And then even if he has 15 points, you're well ahead there.
That's huge, yeah.
So, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. You definitely don't want to touch him in any kind of cash game, period. But, you know, if you want a dollar scratch off, you can do worse than minimum price backs in that department.
Definitely.
Here. Before we sign off, we have a special offer for new FanDuel users. Get a free 6-month subscription to RotoWire with a $10 deposit on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. Excuse me. Not only will you get the free subscription, but you'll have that $10 available to play with on FanDuel. That's over $40 in value for just $10. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. If you're already a FanDuel user and still want to check out the website, be sure to go to RotoWire.com/pod. That's RotoWire.com/pod for a free 10-day trial. We won't take a credit card. There are no strings attached. Once again, I'm Jake Letarski. You can find me on Twitter at JakeSki52.
And I'm John McKechnie. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnny McKex.
The RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast will return Wednesday with Paul Bruno and James Seltzer.